The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, September 2nd through Sunday, September 8th, 2024. The commentary for this month of September was written by Colleen Thomas, a spiritual director and longtime practitioner of centering prayer. She delights in companioning others on their spiritual journey, leading contemplative prayer groups and spiritual workshops and retreats. Learn more about her ministry at soulcarela.com. That's soulcarela.com. The commentary for Monday, September 2nd, begins as follows. From the book of Job, chapter 12, verse 13. With God are wisdom and strength. He has counsel and understanding. Here's the commentary. What makes me free? Free from the judgment of others, free from my own shame. It is the grace of knowing what Jesus knew. I can do nothing on my own. Job knew this too, as his friends with their best intentions waxed philosophical about his condition. Job knew what most of us fail to realize, and all other creation understands: power comes from God alone. When I find myself stretched too thin, overwhelmed and stressed by work, family dynamics, or money woes, I've learned to identify the source of my anxiety. Without fail, I have slowly but steadily drifted back to my default modus operandi. I got this. My neglect to acknowledge God's active presence in my day-to-day life turns the weight of responsibility into a burden. I'm careful and grateful that God is always willing to remind me what I so easily forget. Like Jesus, I can do nothing on my own, at least not peacefully. And now I'm going to read from this full passage of Job, chapter 12, verses 13 through 25. With God are wisdom and strength. He has counsel and understanding. If he tears down, no one can rebuild. If he shuts someone in, no one can open up. If he withholds the waters, they dry up. If he sends them out, they overwhelm the land. With him are strength and wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are his. He leads counselors away, stripped, and makes fools of judges. He looses the sash of kings and binds a waistcloth on their loins. He leads priests away stripped and overthrows the mighty. He deprives of speech those who are trusted and takes away the discernment of the elders. He pours contempt on princes and looses the belt of the strong. He uncovers the deeps out of darkness and brings deep darkness to light. He makes nations great, then destroys them. He enlarges nations, then leads them away. He strips understanding from the leaders of the earth and makes them wander in a pathless waste. They grope in the dark without light. He makes them stagger like a drunkard. And the moving forward statement and question for this day is, read this passage from Job, and how often do you forget that God is in charge? The commentary for Tuesday, September 3rd, begins with a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 12, verse 16. Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the gate, they saw him and were amazed. My mother said to me recently, "You're always discerning something." Her statement caught me off guard. Was it of curiosity or judgment? Regardless, I responded, "Yes, of course I am." Every day I seek to know God's will, God's desire. What is true? Will this decision or that one set me free or further entrench me in my need for security, affection, or control? Freedom came to Peter like a dream. He did not know that the vision of an angel guiding him safely past sleeping soldiers, on duty guards and locked gates, was real. In this dream state, he followed the angel to freedom. When the people hear that Peter is free, their first response is disbelief. "You are out of your mind." Pursuing the freedom Jesus offers may sometimes seem outrageous or impossible, but the Lord works in mysterious, magnificent ways if only we listen and follow. And now I'm going to read from the book of Acts, chapter 12, verses 1 through 17. About that time, King Herod laid violent hands upon some who belonged to the church. He had James, the brother of John, killed with the sword. After he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the festival of unleavened bread. When he had seized him, he put him in prison and handed him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending to bring him out to the people after Passover. While Peter was kept in prison, the church prayed fervently to God for him. The very night before Herod was going to bring him out, Peter, bound with two chains, was sleeping between two soldiers, while guards in front of the door were keeping watch over the prison. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He tapped Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly," and the chains fell off his wrists. The angel said to him, "Fasten your belt and put on your sandals." He did so. Then he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." Peter went out and followed him. He did not realize that what was happening with the angel's help was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. After they had passed the first and the second guard, they came before the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went outside and walked along a lane. When suddenly the angel left him, then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hands of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." As soon as he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many had gathered and were praying. When he knocked at the outer gate, a maid named Rhoda came to answer. On recognizing Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the gate, she ran in and announced that Peter was standing at the gate. They said to her, "You are out of your mind," but she insisted that it was so. They said, "It is his angel." Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the gate, they saw him and were amazed. He motioned to them with his hand to be silent and described for them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he added, "Tell this to James and to the believers." Then he left and went to another place. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, September 3rd, is, how do you actively discern God's will in your life? Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, September 4th. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 54. "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, he of whom you say, 'He is our God.'" There are different kinds of boldness reflected in today's readings. There is the way of Herod and the way of Jesus. The unruly crowds, which likely include some of the same people who shouted, "Crucify him," when Jesus was on trial, seem to know that Herod is nothing more than a man acting out of his own selfish desires, instead of acting on behalf of a higher authority. An angel of the Lord immediately strikes down Herod because he fails to give glory to God. Jesus, on the other hand, continually gives glory to God, despite being hounded by accusers who demand to know by what authority he speaks and acts. So bold is Jesus in his edicts that the crowds try to stone him. Just before his death, in his final prayer to his Father, Jesus says, "The glory you have given me, I have given them." What in God's name are we to do with this glory given us? Let us pray not to go in the way of Herod. And now I'm going to read from this full gospel passage from John chapter 8, verses 47 through 59. "Whoever is from God hears the words of God. The reason you do not hear them is that you are not from God. The Jews answered him, 'Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?' Jesus answered, 'I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly I tell you, whoever keeps my word will never see death.' The Jews said to him, 'Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say, whoever keeps my word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? The prophets also died. Who do you claim to be?' Jesus answered, 'If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, he of whom you say, he is our God, though you do not know him. But I know him. If I would say that I do not know him, I would be a liar, like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your ancestor Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad.' Then the Jews said to him, 'You are not yet 50 years old, and how have you seen Abraham?' Jesus said to them, 'Very truly I tell you, before Abraham was, I am.' So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple." And the moving forward question for this Wednesday is, how will you boldly proclaim God's glory today? The commentary for Thursday, September 5th, begins with a passage from John chapter 9, verse 14. "Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes." As a child, I understood God as operating on a reward system, giving me a gold star when I did well and withholding reward and affection when I failed. As an adult, I have come to a place in my spiritual life where I understand that some things are simply out of our control. Jesus tells the disciples that the man was born blind through no fault of his own. He was not blind because he sinned. He did not lose his sight as a result of generational trauma. Some are born poor through no fault of their own, born disabled through no fault of their own, born into oppression or into abusive homes. Jesus says this man was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. God doesn't want to punish or withhold from us. Rather, God wants to reveal God's self to us. Are we ready to receive this magnificent gift? And now I'm going to read from the full passage from this Gospel of John, chapter 7, verses 1 through 17. "As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me. While it is day, night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man," but they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, or he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." And the moving forward question for this Thursday, September 5th, is a statement to commit to attending a service of Holy Eucharist this week. Look for glimpses of God in the prayers and in the liturgy. The commentary for Friday, September 6th, begins with a passage from Job 19, verse 4. "And even if it is true that I have erred, my error remains with me." I have not known the depths of reproach that Job experienced, but I have scorned another. Definitely, it is easy to react to Job's trials through his lens, that of the victim. But taking the role of one of his accusing friends may be an Ignatian exercise worth exploring. Imagine yourself in the scene. A good friend loses everything. Her business folds. Her children won't speak to her. And business associates distance themselves from her. What happened? You might ask with an incredulous tone, and though you dare not say it aloud, "What did you do?" would be the natural question to follow. It's difficult to consider misfortune, calamity, or disaster happening for no reason. Human nature demands an answer to the why. We want a reason that holds up scientifically, legally, or academically. We see it in the story of Job that God's purpose will be fulfilled by any means, through any person God sees fit. That may even be through me if I can only remember to surrender my reason and opinion to the goodness of God. And now I'm going to read from Job 19, verses 1 through 7. "Then Job answered, 'How long will you torment me and break me in pieces with words? These 10 times you have cast reproach upon me. Are you not ashamed to wrong me? And even if it is true that I have erred, my error remains with me. If indeed you magnify yourselves against me and make my humiliation an argument against me, know then that God has put me in the wrong and closed his net around me. Even when I cry out violence, I am not answered. I call aloud, but there is no justice.'" And the moving forward question for this Friday is, How can you keep an open mind to the ways God might be working in your life and in the lives of others? The commentary for Saturday, September 7th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 16. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. My parents just celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary. Despite a note on the invitation that read, "No gifts, please," they were delighted to receive many. People don't always need an invitation to give. We give out of the kindness of our own hearts. Receiving, on the other hand, often does require an invitation. Receiving involves the act of acceptance. By grace, we receive the kindness and generosity of others. Grace itself is a gift freely given. Jesus says in the Gospel of John today, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." Although it's hard to accept something I don't think I'm worthy to receive or feel like I haven't earned, I wouldn't want to tell Jesus, "No gifts, please." Sometimes a simple thank you will suffice. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." And the moving forward question for this day, have you ever written a thank you note to Jesus? Draft one today. You might be surprised at what you write. And as we near the end of this week and the end of the program, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, September 8th, the 16th day, 16th Sunday after Pentecost. It begins with a passage from James 2, verse 1. "Do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? I've been a member of churches that offer canned food drives and food banks and Monday meals, which are all fine and good and important work. But if we continue to see those persons as subjects of our charity and separate from us, I fear we are still showing partiality in our hearts. When James talks about fulfilling the law, he is not describing particular acts of morality. Instead, we are to fulfill the new law given by Jesus to love our neighbors as ourselves. While this seems simple on the surface, it's a much higher calling because to love is a condition of the heart. If I serve the poor from a place of pity or mere sympathy, I dishonor them and Jesus' call. Sympathy is to feel a sense of despair for someone who is going through something difficult. Empathy is the ability to identify with another's feelings. Because Jesus loved, he could not resist being love. Though we are not Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit and Jesus' example, we too can choose to love. Now I'll read the full passage from James, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. My brothers and sisters, do you with your acts of favoritism really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while to the other one who is poor you say, "Stand there," or "Sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law, according to the Scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, September 8th, how can you move from acts born out of sympathy to acting with empathy and with love? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.